The audio track you're about to listen to was recorded at LifeStreams Christian Church in South Perth, Western Australia. For more information, please visit our website at www.lifestreamcc.com.
We're so blessed, aren't we, church? So blessed. Today, I have the privilege of continuing our sermon series in the book of 1 Timothy. And last week, if you were here, you would have heard David speak to us out of the first 8 verses of chapter 4. And the key point that he made was this. His key point was to train yourself to be godly. To train yourself to be godly as it has value for you and others, for the present, for the future, and for eternity. It was his big idea. And if you missed that message, I'd encourage you to have a listen. A great message. And there's just a slide up behind me there of just how to get there. That's our website. And there's a little button down there, messages online. And I'm not sure how many of you have been there, but this is just a great resource. If you miss a Sunday and you want to keep tracking with where a series is going, click on that little button and then that bottom screen will pop up. And there is just a mountain of resources, and you can click on there and you can download the resources, small group questions, and also have a listen and stay on track with where the church is at in their sermon series, in their teaching. So this morning, I want to continue to build on that theme of training yourself to be godly. But first, I think it's always good to start with some prayer. So would you pray with me? Jesus, it is great. It is great to be gathered together today as your church. And Lord, I like to pray for our children. Lord, we pray that the children, Lord, as they sit, as they listen, as they're in their areas this morning, Discovery Cove, Water's Edge, Family Foreshore, I pray that you would speak to them and that you would continue to grow their faith in the name of Jesus. And Lord, I also want to pray that as we look at today's message, today's passage, that your Spirit would speak to each and every one of us, that you would bring revelation, and that you will grow us into deeper, stronger, and more fruitful disciples. That's my prayer in the name of Jesus. Amen. Today, as I said, we're going to be focusing on and looking at what it means to train in godliness. And many of you would know a mate of mine. Is Warren Wild. He's sitting up the back there. For those of you who don't know Warren, when he was younger, was a state swimmer. And I believe he's still fairly decent at swimming. He's probably beat most of us in the room here today still. But when he was younger, he was really good. And when we were younger, we used to come to youth group and, you know, we knew of this guy, Warren, but we rarely would see him. And the reality for Warren was that he was training his backside off to be the best swimmer in the state. And I asked him, you know, well, how much training did you actually do? And he said to me, 11 sessions a week, Monday to Saturday morning. He'd train from 5:30 to 8 a.m. So that's a.m. And then Monday to Friday arvos from 4:30 to 7 p.m. So I guess as soon as school finished, he'd be straight into that pool doing laps. And he said to me, on average, 8 kilometres per session. So that equates to about 90 kilometres every single week, up and down that pool. And I remember as a young bloke thinking, man, I was just super impressed with his discipline to do that day in and day out. I was impressed with his commitment and his devotion to the sport. And recently I asked him, well, why did you do it, Warren? I mean, that's full on. Why did you do it? And he said this. He said, the motivation was tough. It was the race that was the purpose. I trained so I could race. I actually disliked training, but it was the race that I loved. I wanted to represent my country and race in different competitions. So training was something that I knew I had to do to get there. The motivation would dip at different times, and then I would need others, particularly my folks, to push and remind me of the end goal. I didn't just want to win. I expected to win. And the exception was when I was racing at Nationals and I just wanted to get close to Karen Perkins. Who remembers Karen Perkins? I mean, kind of feel for you, mate, that Karen Perkins was so good at that time, because I imagine we probably might have seen you on the podium. But I share that with you because it's just incredible, isn't it? What it takes to be an elite sports person. And the other reason I wanted to share that with you is because I want you to also hear the importance of others in motivating, in maintaining motivation. You know, he mentioned his folks. Obviously, he had a coach. So important to keep the motivation up. Now, I'm wondering, have you ever tried to do a diet? Have you ever tried to implement a physical training regime in your world? How did it go? You know, yeah, there's a big thumbs down. How did it go? What was your motivation? You know, what drove you to put that diet in place or that physical exercise regime? You know, I'm the classic, I know what I need to do. I know that I need to, you know, lose weight or I need to run the 5Ks, but I'm not that great at intentionally implementing it or sticking to it. And anyone else in the room sort of identify with that? You know, the reality is that physical training is of some value, but godliness has value for all things. And David shared that verse with us last week. Spiritual growth doesn't just happen. It doesn't just happen. We need to take responsibility for our own spiritual development. You know, one of our key roots in our discipleship ecosystem, we need to take responsibility and we need to intentionally train ourselves to be godly. And I believe today's passage, as we look at these verses, I believe that these verses provide for us a great framework for what it means to train in godliness. These verses contain very practical principles that will help us to take hold. And our theme for this series is taking hold of our kingdom life. Now, I think it's really important that I just take a bit of a time out here and just stop and say a couple of things about motivation. This morning you'll hear me encourage you. Well, it's not really me, it's Paul encouraging you to train yourself to be godly. And that'll include intentionally implementing things like exercising spiritual disciplines, reading your Bible, praying, maybe some retreating. You might hear me say, hey, you need to know your gifts. You'll hear me say, maybe it's good for you to develop a personal mission statement. And you know what? That might sound to you a lot like religion. It might sound a lot like, you know, having to work. You know, you need to work. You need to do another thing. And you might be tempted to switch off because you're not into religion. Well, can I encourage you, don't switch off. My prayer is that whenever we talk about our kingdom life, whenever we talk about training in godliness, my prayer is that we would be motivated by His love, Christ's love. We would be motivated by His grace, and we would be motivated by what He has done. Not by pressure, not by guilt, or by thinking that if I just work harder, if I just try harder, if I just tick this box, that'll make God happy. Or that'll make my small group happy or my wife happy. We need to be motivated by His love. We need to be empowered and transformed by His Spirit. Is that okay to say that this morning? I want you to, you know, we're in this tension. There's this constant tension. But these things go hand in hand. So let's take a look at today's passage. 1 Timothy 4, chapter 4, verses 9 through to 16. You know, here we have Paul, a spiritual father, you know, sitting down with his spiritual son, Timothy, and he's speaking into his life. It's just a great picture of a father and a son. And in earlier verses, Paul urges Timothy to do what? To train himself in godliness. And then in these verses, it's almost like he goes, hey, Timothy, let me help you put together a kingdom life training program. It's almost like, here, Timothy, are some principles that will help you to grow into the man of God that he is wanting you to be, to grow as a leader, to grow as a follower of Jesus. And I'm going to share five principles. These principles have been adapted and are based on a John Maxwell resource. If you know John Maxwell, guru on leadership, and I've based some of what I'm going to say on that. So verse 9, let's look at these verses. Verse 9 through to 12, it says, this is a trustworthy saying that deserves full acceptance. And that is why we labor and strive, because we have put our hope in the living God, who is the Savior of all people, and especially of those who believe. I command and teach these things. Don't let anyone look down on you because you are, what, church? Young. But set an example for the believers in speech, in conduct, in love, in faith, and in purity. So our first principle this morning is training in godliness. The first training in godliness principle one is this: identify the obstacles and get over them. Identify the obstacles and get over them. What was Timothy's obstacle? Someone young. He was young. And what did Paul encourage him to do? Well, I believe Paul is encouraging Timothy to live as a genuine Christ follower, to model Christ-like living to those who may look at him and think, gee, he's a young leader. I don't know whether I should follow him. And he encourages Timothy to pay particular attention to his speech and his conduct. I want you to notice, speech and conduct are kind of like, pay attention to the outward life, your outward life, the things that people see. And then he goes on, pay attention to the way you love, your faith, and your purity. And I want you to notice, you know, they're the things that happen on the inside of us. Love comes from within. Faith comes from within. Our purity comes from within. It's kind of like the above and below the surface of our kingdom life ecosystem here. You know, these five things are vital elements of Christian living. Five areas of life that if Timothy was to stumble and fall in one of those, to be careless in one of those areas, it could mean disaster for his ministry. So I want to ask, what are the obstacles in your life? What are the things holding you back? What are the things that are stopping you from growing into the person that God wants you to be? Maybe you're sitting there and you are young and you think, man, my age is getting in the way. Maybe it's your past. Oh, you know, I look back and I'm all that stuff, and man, that is just, it's like an anchor holding me back. Maybe it's your lack of passion or your lack of faith. There might be a myriad of things, a myriad of obstacles that get in the way of you developing your spiritual life. Maybe it's one of the five things that Paul mentions in this verse. You know, I think of the one there that's the word purity. You know, is that holding you back? Your inner world. We need to identify the obstacles. And then the other question is, well, what are we doing? What are you doing to get over those obstacles? And hopefully today will promote you to think seriously about putting some things in place, to getting a strategy to overcoming those things that are stopping you from growing. To sum this up, in order to effectively train ourselves to be godly, We need to identify the obstacles and we need to get over them. Let's go on to verse 13. It says, until I come, devote yourselves to the public reading of Scripture, to preaching and to teaching. So training in godliness, principle two is this. Identify your calling and pursue it with everything. You know, Timothy's calling was to be a pastor, was to be a teacher. His call was to share the Scriptures with people and to encourage them to obey and live out every single word of God. And if you want the definition of what a good preacher is, well, that's it right there. To teach the Scriptures and to exhort your people to follow them with everything. And what Paul is saying, Timothy, devote yourself to that. That is your call. Pursue it with absolutely everything. What have you devoted your life to? You know, God has given each and every one of us a purpose or a calling that we must find and we must follow. Do you know what God has designed you to do in this kingdom life? You know, this passage that we're looking at today is very special to me, and I want to share why. Now, when I started as a youth intern here back 19 years ago, the first thing that Anthony Cook was the youth pastor at the time, the first thing that he kind of made me do is he sat me down and he said, Rod, what I would like you to do is this spiritual gift survey, because I would like to know what your spiritual gifts are. And I think that it's really important that you know what your spiritual gifts are. And the second thing that he sat me down to do was to put together a personal mission statement. And he gave me a resource and he gave me a few weeks just to sit with Jesus and to pray, read scriptures and go through this resource. And at the end of that time, I came up with a personal mission statement. And that process for me, I will be forever thankful to Anthony for, because I believe that those two things have been instrumental in my personal spiritual development. And one of the greatest things that came out of this process for me was my life verse or my life verses. God gave me a piece of scripture that really spoke to me, and I'm going to read my mission statement to you now as an example, and have a listen for the verses you might be able to recognize. So here it is. It's this. I desire to set an example in speech, life, love, faith, and purity. Is it looking familiar? Devoting myself to public reading of Scripture, preaching and teaching, not neglecting the gifts God has given me. And when I was 20... I had the bit in there about being young. Well, now that I'm nearly 40, I had to take that out. But it goes on and it says, if I persevere in this, I'll please God and I'll see fruit in my life and in the lives of others. I will also endeavor to be the man that God wants me to be, devoted to my wife, my family, friends, and the people to whom I'm ministering, always being prepared to encourage by letting my heart be seen. For this to be a reality, I need to pray, I need to be relational, I need to be committed to team, and most of all, to the one who has given me this mission. You know, church, the process of putting together that personal mission statement, you know, a couple of paragraphs there. I've seen some other personal mission statements that are made of 10 words. Really simple, short, and focused. Fantastic. Mine was a bit longer. But that process of putting a personal mission statement together has helped me no end and has helped me to stay committed and focused in my spiritual journey. Church, can I encourage you to spend some time with Jesus and ask Him to help you develop your life mission statement? And I know maybe some of you here have already developed that, and that's great. But if you haven't, can I encourage you? You know, this week, maybe Tuesday, we're going to put some resources online This message will go online. The PowerPoint will be online. We're going to have a small group questions online. We're also put a number of resources up for you if you're interested in going through that process of developing a personal mission statement. Now, in order to effectively train ourselves to be godly, we need to identify our calling and pursue it with everything. Amen. Verse 14. Do not neglect your gift, which was given you through prophecy when the body of elders laid their hands on you. So training in godliness, principle number three is this. Identify your gifts and develop them. You know, Paul is encouraging Timothy not to be careless with the spiritual gift that God had given him. And I don't know about you, but you know, when I read that section in the scripture, I go, well, what's the gift that they're talking about? And as you dig a little bit, I believe that the gift made reference to here is most likely to do with his gift to preach and teach the word of God. And God gave Timothy exactly what he needed in order to fulfill the call that he had placed on his life. And I want to say to you that God doesn't call us to something that he hasn't equipped us to do. In 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 6, it says that God has made us competent ministers. God has made us competent Christ followers of the new covenant by the Spirit. He has equipped us through the Spirit and made us competent to live out this kingdom of life. And I'm so grateful for my youth pastor. I'm so grateful that he sat me down and he put the resource in front of me and he said, I want to know your gifts. And if you know them, it's going to help you as a disciple of Jesus. And so 19 years ago when I sat down, I was quite surprised to see, and I shouldn't have been, but I was quite surprised to see that my top three gifts were leadership, pastor, shepherd, and helps. And I love having helps on the end of that because I just love helping people. I love getting in, getting my hands dirty to see stuff happen. And knowing that these three gifts were my top three has given me the confidence to serve Jesus, has given me confidence to grow as a follower of Christ. Do you know what your spiritual gifts are? If you're not sure, can I encourage you to find out? There'll be a resource online. There'll be a SHAPE course coming up on November 28. You know, if you're keen to do the SHAPE course is a great course that David leads that looks at your spiritual gifts, it looks at your heart, it looks at your abilities, it looks at your personality, and it looks at your experience, and it all comes together and you're able to go, wow, that's how God has shaped me for this kingdom life. And I encourage you to put that in your diary, November 28. You know, church, in order for us to effectively train ourselves in godliness, we need to identify our gifts and we need to develop them. Let's move on to verse 15. It says, be diligent in these matters, give yourself wholly to them, so that everyone may see your progress. Our fourth training in godliness principle is this. Identify the work and immerse yourself in it. I love that word immerse. It kind of links us back to the story of Warren being immersed in that pool, focused on what he needed to do. And in verse 15, Paul calls Timothy to immerse himself in the work that God has called him to. Where has God called you to serve? Where is it? And have you immersed yourself in it? Can you see how the previous three principles really help us to understand this one? Understanding how we're shaped, understanding our call, understanding our giftedness releases us to immerse ourselves in the work. And if you're not sure, can I encourage you just to chat to the people around you? Chat to the people in your life group. Or you might even want to book in a, you know, we're calling it a Kingdom Life conversation. You might want to book in a Kingdom Life conversation with one of the team, one of the pastors. And we would see it as an absolute privilege to sit down with you and to chat about your Kingdom Life. And maybe that's a next step, a next practical step that you could put in place. In order to effectively train ourselves to be godly, we need to identify the work and immerse ourselves in it. Are you with me? Verse 16, we keep moving. Watch your life and doctrine closely. Persevere in them, because if you do, you will save both yourself and your hearers. Training in godliness, principle 5, is this. Identify your weaknesses and control them. Identify your weaknesses and control them. What is this verse talking about? Well, it states it there. It's like plain. Watch your life and watch what you believe. Watch your doctrine closely. It's talking about, again, taking responsibility for your own spiritual development. You know, we need to pay attention to our inner world, what's happening below the surface. We need to watch our behavior and our doctrine. We need to practice what we preach. So hard, practicing what we preach. It's easy for me to stand up here and say, hey, church, this is what you need to do. It's another thing for me to put this stuff into practice. But I need to practice what I preach. And if we have one flaw in any of these areas, it has the potential to take you out. So we need to watch our doctrine and watch our life closely. So what are your weaknesses? We all have areas of weakness in our lives. We all have areas that the devil particularly targets because he knows it is a weakness. He wants to take you out. Do you know what they are? You know, it's earlier on I asked you about, have you tried doing a diet? Well, it's pretty well known. It's pretty widely known that if you want to lose weight and you have a weakness for chocolate, for chips and for soft drink, me. The dietitians say that you need to control what you put in your trolley at the supermarket, right? They say that one of the great things to do, one of the great strategies to ensure that you don't put on weight is don't buy them in the first place, and definitely make sure they don't get into your home. Because if they're not there in your home, you can't eat them. Isn't that the truth? So hard to do. You know, it's exactly the same thing with our spiritual weaknesses. Exactly the same thing. Do you have a strategy in place to identify your weaknesses, and then a strategy to mitigate those weaknesses? Can I ask you, do you have people in your world that care about your spirituality? Do you have friends? Do you have people who love just walking alongside you, championing you in your spiritual walk? Because it's so important. This area is so important. We need to do this together. Someone, you know, do you have people in your world that you've given the license to speak pretty much anything into your world, to ask you the tough questions? Are you in a life group? Do you have a mentor? Do you have a coach? Do you have a spiritual friend who can help you in this area? You know, church, in order to effectively train ourselves to be godly, we need to identify our weaknesses and we need to mitigate them. We need to control them. Well, there's a lot there. 5 principles. A lot there. We've just looked at five principles that I believe will help us to effectively train ourselves to be godly. These principles sound nice. But unless we're diligent in these matters and we give ourselves wholly to them, they just remain principles. We're wasting our time. So let's get really practical as we finish today. Can I urge you, every single one of us, can I urge you to do one thing? One thing out of today's message. Just think of one area. And I want to encourage you to just respond as the Spirit leaves. But here are just some possible ways this morning that you could potentially respond. And the first one is intentionally book in some space or some time with Jesus. And you know what that's called? That's called retreating. Intentionally block out some time in your schedule to just get alone with Him and to chat about the things that we've talked about, to chat about your kingdom life, and to allow the Spirit of God to minister to you. I think if you're able to do that and you hear from the Spirit, it's going to be way more effective than anything I've said today. And that's the first thing. Carve out some space to spend time with Jesus. The second thing is you could potentially, if you feel like the Spirit is saying this, but you could develop a rule of life. Who's ever heard of the rule of life? It's an ancient practice that the monks and spiritual people used to do, and I've kind of come across this through this book called God in My Everything, and it talks about developing a rule of life, and I've kind of adapted it, and I want us to call it in the life of the church developing a kingdom life plan instead of a rule of life. It's a kingdom life plan, and I believe it's a really important next step in taking our kingdom life to the next level, because it helps us to be intentional. And I want to just show you a couple of rules of life, and then I want to show you my kingdom life plan. Now, Ken is the guy that wrote this. Ken Shigematsu. And this is his rule of life. And he's a kind of write something down and go down the page kind of guy. Okay, so take a 24-hour Sabbath once a week. Aim to be home by 5:15 p.m. each day, and to be home at least 4 evenings a week. These are things that I sense he's sat down with the Spirit of God and gone, these are important things that I need to put in my life. If I could have the next slide. This continues. You know, go on a date with my wife every 2 to 3 weeks. I bet you his wife loves that. The bottom one, tied to my local church, and to give impoverished children and missions in the developing world to the point where we feel financially stretched. This is Ken's rule of life. Now, I want to show you Brittany. Brittany's rule of life is this. She's set it out a little bit differently. She's gone with the heading, you know, on a daily basis, I want to spend time with God through Bible study, meditation, or memorization, prayer, or worship. Next slide. And then you'll see on a weekly basis, and then on a bi week, I'm starting to get a little bit stretched to read this, and you probably are too. One of those things that on a bi-weekly basis or a monthly basis, I will connect with my peer mentor and spiritual friend. So that's Brittany's way of setting it out. Now, I want to show you a possible way that you could set out your kingdom plan, and I asked one of my staff members to do this. And you might be the arty, I won't say arty farty, oh, I just did. If you are the arty creative types, then this might be the way that you represent your kingdom life plan. And there's drawings there of things that this particular staff member thought, you know, this is really important that I do this on a daily basis, a weekly basis. And these examples will be online. And now I want to show you mine. I'm a box kind of guy. And I've set that out in such a way where I've got my spiritual responsibilities. I see my spiritual responsibilities as daily, weekly, monthly, quarterly, biannually, and annually. And then across the top, I've gone, okay, spiritual life I need to grow in, relationships, the body, kingdom style servant, and my steward, kingdom steward. And in the kingdom steward side of things, I've obviously got, you know, it's important for me to tithe. exercise 2 to 3 times a week, drink 8 cups of water because I'm a steward of this body that God has given me. Then I don't want you to tell my wife the kingdom servant one, but it says do the dishes and take out the rubbish, and notice that it's on a daily basis. And also focus on cleaning a room. Then you go to the body, weekly church, prayer together, gathering, and then on spiritual life, every once a quarter I do a day retreat. Does that make sense? It's kind of this intentional kingdom life plan. And I want to say that, you know, I'm not always going to get this right. I'm not always going to hit the targets. But you know what? We're doing this by grace, aren't we? There's grace all over this stuff. And you just need to ask Lee how many times I fail in this stuff. But the powerful thing in having a plan is that when you sit down and it's somewhere where you see it, you review it and you go, ah, that's a commitment that I've made. I'm going to try and do something about it this week. Does that make sense? The third thing that potentially you might like to do this out of this message is develop a personal mission statement. And we'll put some resources online that'll help you and work you through that. The next thing is you might want to do a kingdom life course. And I've just highlighted, what is that, 5 different courses that are coming up. Valiant Man, to do with that whole area of male purity, and it's about discipleship. Remember, it's one of our biggest challenges as men, this whole area in our discipleship. Alpha Marriage is on those dates. Our Shape course, you know, you might want to discover your gifts and how you've been shaped as a disciple. CAPS Money course, early November, we're going to start doing a course that will disciple you in how to handle your finances. And that's coming up, and we'll explain more of that soon. And then our first spiritual retreat number 1 is booked for November 20th to the 22nd. And we've got a guy from over east coming over, and he's going to lead that, and that's going to be for our staff, for our SLT and our shepherding elders. And then hopefully from there, we're going to find a whole heap of facilitators, and then we'll be able to launch it next year and invite you to be a part of our spiritual retreating, which we're really excited about. We also, another possible way is to book in a Kingdom Life conversation with one of the pastors, one of the team. We'd love to sit down with you and chat to you about your Kingdom Life. Or you might want some prayer. Maybe something today has come to the surface and you're just like, man, I need some prayer. Well, we would love to do that with you now, after the service, and we'd encourage you to come along and be a part of prayer tonight. So all of that, to finish with this, please remember, all of this, our kingdom life, motivated by His grace, motivated by His love and what He has done, empowered and transformed by His Spirit. Amen? Let's pray. Lord, it's our prayer that You would anoint the conversations that the men, the women, and the children of this church will have with You and with each other as they seriously and intentionally consider the next steps in their discipleship journeys. I pray that You would help each of us to decide here and now to take responsibility for our own spiritual growth, that we would seek first Your kingdom, and as a result, we would see fruit in our own lives and in the lives of others. I pray these things in the mighty name of Jesus.